Well, desire your prayers this morning. I have a few thoughts to share with you. And I want to ask a couple of questions first, just to get started.
Pretty simple question. Has anyone here, and you can raise your hand if you care to, anyone here ever helped build a house? A literal house? I think several of us have here. Whether you built it all by yourself, or you hired someone and you were involved with it, or you just went and helped someone build a house, that's quite a task, isn't it? Just building a house. So here's another question. Anyone here ever help build a boat? I haven't. Maybe just a little tiny boat as a little kid, you know, putting in a stream or a little pond or something, but to actually build a boat, I've never built a boat. So we'll take it to another level. Anyone here ever help build a houseboat? No, maybe we built a house and maybe someone's tinkering on a boat, but to actually build a houseboat, that's another story. And that's actually what I want to talk about this morning. Not necessarily building a houseboat, but specifically building our ark. So I'm going to write that on the board here. So building our ark. So obviously, we're going to talk about Noah. And we'll read some scriptures here in a moment about Noah. But I want to cover what an ark actually means. An ark is simply a box. But it's specifically a box meant to protect and keep something safe. For instance, remember the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament? It was an ark. It was a box. Now, they layered it with gold and so on and so forth and had it all decorated up. But inside this box, the Ark of the Covenant, was some symbols of God's covenant. So there were the Ten Commandments. There were some manna, there was Aaron's rod, and maybe another thing or two. But the point was, there was a box, so it was an ark of the covenant, to keep some things safe within it. So when we think about Noah building the ark, it was simply a big floating box to keep his family, Noah and his family, and all these animals, to keep them safe in this ark. Okay? So I want to turn and read part of this story in Genesis, the sixth chapter, and we'll start with verses 14, and I'm going to read some of this here. It says here, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." Now I want to back up just a little bit and realize that God gave some very specific instructions how to build this ark. The type of wood, the dimensions, different levels to it, have a door and have a window, so on and so forth. And he's saying here, I'm going to send a flood and destroy all flesh there, where everyone that's not in the ark will perish. And it goes on, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So this is just a short portion of a scripture, or sorry, of a chapter, but to take into consideration the magnitude of this job that Noah took on, all right? That God asked him to build this ark and to save his sons and his daughters and his grandchildren, so on and so forth, and to save all these animals in this huge boat. And so I want to draw just a quick diagram of this boat, just so we know, just to have a little visual here this morning. I'm going to draw a side view and then just a little end view here, so maybe a little crude, but 45 feet tall, okay? And just to give you some quick references here, the height of it, 45 feet, I would say the height of the ceiling is probably what do y'all think, 15 feet, maybe 18? So almost three times as tall as the ceiling would be 45 feet, all right? And then 75 feet will be like from here to the kitchen area in the back of the dining area, all right? Roughly, I'm just throwing that out there, just to give you a little visual, and then 1.5 football fields long. That's huge, all right? A huge boat. And to understand the caliber of this job that Noah was tasked with, it took him several decades to build this, all right? He didn't have the power tools that we have today. He couldn't just call up Lowe's and have several truckloads of lumber delivered at his building site. What did he have to do? Any children in here have any ideas? How did Noah get this wood to build the ark? He had to chop down some trees, right? And then they had to haul the lumber, the pieces of these logs, haul the wood to where he was building this ark, okay? So there was a lot involved here. And there's different speculations on exactly how long it took. Some speculate 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Whatever the case is, it was several decades. It was a whole lifetime of our lifetimes, okay, that he spent building this huge boat, the ark, okay? And just to think of this, have you ever worked on a task that you thought was a pretty huge task and did it all by yourself? I remember, this is several years ago, and it wasn't that big of a task, really. I mean, when I look back, I'm like, that wasn't that big a deal. Well, my boys were just little guys. I built a little, bought a kit from Lowe's. So by the way, I didn't have to go chop down the trees and shape the wood and trim it all down. But I bought a load, it was a kit from Lowe's, and built a little swing set fort, whatever you want to call it, a little set for children to play in with a swing set and a slide, and a little fort area and a sandbox and all that. And I did it all by myself, basically. But that was just a piddly thing. And it took some time, you know, trying to figure out how it all went together and had to customize a few things. But to think of something of this caliber, all right, building this ark, 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet tall, didn't have all the power tools, didn't have all the supply chain like we're used to. And besides all of that, he built it, he was alone, basically. Now, he hired people to help him, I'm confident of that. But he had never built a boat before. Just think about that. And prior to this, they hadn't had rain, so flooding was not a common occurrence. So, and they're like, you're building this boat? And that's a whole other story in itself. And there's other scriptures we can pull up and talk about that, where they made light of Noah building this ark, like, you're building it on dry land, there's no water around it. What do you think you're doing, you know? And so for years, he's persevering, building this boat because God told him to. You realize how much sheer physical and emotional and intellectual stamina he had to have to persevere, not just for a few years, but for decades, building this huge boat, this ark, okay? And again, it was specifically to house the seven individuals and his family. And they were relying on him to carry through with this, because if he didn't build this, they were going to lose their lives. Maybe they didn't understand it completely, but that's what God told him, and that's what he told his family. And maybe his family thought he was kind of crazy at times. He's like, no, God told me to build an ark. I'm going to build an ark. And he gave me specific instructions, and I'm going to build it according to his instructions. So, now, we'll just consider a few things, a few what ifs. So let's just use our imagination here a little bit. What if Noah would have stopped short of finishing this boat? What if he would have just built part of it? You know, just built it, say, got about this far right here. I'm like, you know, that's enough. I've spent 2.5 or maybe 3 decades to build it to this point, and I've only made it up about maybe 15 feet high. And that's huge in itself, almost as tall as a ceiling. And he's put a lot of work into it. And he reached to a certain point and he's like, you know what? This is too much. I'm just going to stop. What if he would have stopped? What would have happened? They wouldn't have made it through the flood, would they? There wouldn't have been anything to house the animals. It would have been, a partial boat without a top, you know, a roof on it. Not all the levels that was required. And, you know, with it rocking back and forth during the flood, would have got rain in there. They would have dumped them out, possibly. All kinds of things could have happened. They wouldn't have survived. And then to think of this, too. What if, these are just some little simple things. What if Noah would have built the boat, but he wasn't willing to go the extra mile? And it says here he used pitch to help seal the wood. What if he would have decided, you know what? I went through all this work of building this and I'm really tired. I'm done with this. I'm like, I've built the rough frame of it and the structure looks pretty good, but he refused to put pitch on it like God required him to help seal it. How long you think the boat would have lasted? Maybe a few days, you know, who knows, and it probably would have sank because water would have been seeping in because it wasn't sealed in between the boards. But again, he could have cut some corners. You see what I'm saying? Where maybe he did persevere and actually build the boat, but I'm going to cut a few corners in the process because I'm just so tired of doing this and just like, this is, Lord, is this really necessary? You understand the point here, okay? Then what if Noah would have decided to just trim back and scale it down to about a third of the size? Like, you know what? That's going to be more doable. If I could just make it 100 feet long, maybe, you know, 20 feet tall and 45 feet wide, that should be big enough. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, maybe I don't want all these, you know, maybe there's some animals that I really don't care for anyway, and I don't want them on the boat. You see what I'm saying here? He could start rationalizing some things in his mind of like, you know, I think I'm just going to customize this to what suits me, you know, not what God said. I mean, he gave some good ideas, some good instruction. Yeah, that'll probably work, but that's a lot of work. I think I'm going to scale it down to something that I can actually just do maybe in a third amount of the time. Okay? What if he would have done that? Do you think God would have been pleased? Do you think he would have even finished it? Even if he decided to do it a third of the scale? These are just a lot of what ifs, okay? But I want to consider some more things. First of all, I drew a door on the side of it there. And if you remember, I'm not going to read the whole story here. But in the 7th chapter, when he loaded up all the animals, and then after everyone was loaded up, who shut the door? God shut the door. Okay? So this door that was on the side of the ark, God's the one that shut the door, okay? So let's keep that in mind. The Lord's the one that shut the door, and I believe it says it there in the 16th verse in Genesis 7. But here's another interesting thing. How did all the animals get into the boat, all right, the ark? Well, there was a door, but it says here, and I don't remember which verse it was, but basically God is the one that brought the animals to the boat. God was in this, all right? And I thought about this. I'm like, you know, I don't have to try to figure out all the details. Well, how did that really happen? But just think about this. Y'all realize there's certain birds and butterflies, like the monarch butterfly travels, I don't know how many thousands of miles, migrating, and birds do the same thing, and they do this every year. How do they know how to do that? God gave them an instinct, all right? That's of God. We as mankind, we don't have control over that. It's just an amazement. So I think of it this way. God put a divine instinct in these animals that, oh, I got to move and I got to go towards this boat. And no doubt he had some of his sons there to help, you know, corral them in there and put them in certain. And I don't know how that happened, but all I know is God was divinely involved in all of this to make it happen where all the animals can get along, and they separated them and they had food for them. And it's just amazing how all this took place. But the point is, God was in all of that, okay? God was orchestrating this. And then here's another thing. It doesn't say anywhere about some specific designs. Like, if you designed a boat without a rudder or a sail, how good is that boat? You can't do much with it, can you? You can't guide it, direct it, whatever. God didn't design and tell him to design a certain rudder or put a sail up or whatever, because he was going to guide the ark, okay? And in the end, when it rested on Mount Ararat there, he's the one that, when the waters receded, God's the one that placed it on that mountain specifically, all right? So the point is, God was in control of all of this. But the key to that was Noah was obeying the specific instructions, the blueprint, and was building it according to God's plan. And he also persevered with building this ark all the way to the end, till it was completed. Then God could do the rest of his work to bring the animals, to close the door, and then he brought the rains, and then the floods came up. You remember the little children's song? The rains came down and the floods came up, and then the boat floated. And you know, this is something that's amazing. There's actually, engineers have studied this, and they say, I'm not a shipbuilder, so I don't understand all of this, but they say that the ark was built in what they call a perfect 6-to-1 ratio, which I don't understand how all that works, but they're saying, I guess, the length versus the height and the width and all that, that it's a perfect ratio for a boat, a large boat. God designed, he figured that out thousands of years ago. God knew what was going to work. Noah didn't know. He had no clue. Again, he could have shaved it off and just made it 200 feet long and still 45 by 75, and it wouldn't have worked properly. But God knew what ratio was going to work the best, and that's how he built it, and it worked. Okay? So let's all keep that in the back of our minds as we move on here. So again, God was truly in control, and Noah allowed him to stay in control. Okay? So I want to dig just even a little deeper in this story. And thinking of Noah building this ark. You know, we can all relate to Noah this morning in our personal lives. And think of it this way. It took Noah, again, one of our lifetimes to build this boat, the ark. Okay? So several decades. Noah had never built an ark before. He never built a boat like this. You know, it's the same with you and I. We've never lived a full life like this before, have we? It's not like we've raised several different families and lived several different lives like we're experts. We're not experts. This is our first and only attempt at living this life for the Lord. Okay? This was Noah's first and only attempt at building the ark. He wasn't going to have a second chance. He probably wouldn't have been strong enough to carry it out and build another. But the point is, he had one chance, one shot at it. You know, it's no different with you and I. We have one life, one opportunity to follow his commandments, to follow his instructions, his blueprint for our life. And that's why I wrote on the board, building our ark. In other words, folks, it's our lives that God wants to build according to his plan, his word, okay? His instructions, his blueprint for our lives. He wants us to build it according to his plans. Not what we think is reasonable or not what we think is doable for us. And we want to customize things to kind of fit our tastes or our likes or our abilities. But God said, no, this is how I want you to build it, Noah. And Noah built it just as God instructed him. And here's what I love about this, folks. When he built it according to God's plan, it worked. So in our personal lives, when we build our lives, we build our ark, we build our lives according to his plan and allow him to be in control of it, folks, it works. We could say it this way. Our life floats, so to speak. It functions as it was designed to do. It preserves us. It preserves our souls as God designed it to do. When we follow his commandments, his laws, his statutes, folks, it works. Thank the Lord for that. So, I want to think of some more things here. On a personal level, we all have responsibilities in building our ark, our lives for the Lord. And I want to focus just a little bit. And the scripture talks about work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And again, that fear and trembling is being reverencing and respecting God's will and his plan, what he wants us to do, all right? Not how we want to do it, but we work out our own salvation with reference and respect to God. Lord, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to carry this out in my life? How long do you want me to cut the certain board in my life? Where do you want me to apply this plank, this board in my life? What do you want me to do with this, Lord? So that's, again, that's reverencing him. So to think about this, being a little more specific here, there comes a point where we can also be like Noah in this regard. At some point in our lives, we are also responsible, in a sense, understand what I'm saying here, for other souls around us. And I'm specifically thinking of parents, of fathers and mothers. We're just like Noah, he was the father, right? He was the leader of his home. He was the leader of his family. So he took charge to make sure that he followed God's command just as he spoke, all right? And he followed that through. And folks, that had a tremendous positive effect upon his family because he obeyed God. Isn't that wonderful? And so, and I think of this on a personal level, that it's up to us as fathers, husbands, that we have quite a sphere of influence. First of all, in our own personal family, but you know, it goes beyond that. We have influence on others, whether it be our siblings, even our own parents, as they get up in age, or maybe it's our extended family, friends, neighbors, co-workers. But it goes for the mothers too. I'm not excluding the mothers. But my point is, we all have a sphere of influence. We affect others. Excuse me. Noah was the same in the same situation. He could have shirked his responsibility and thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait and see if the Lord will find someone else to do this. But folks, the scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to build our own ark. No one's going to build it for us. You understand what I'm saying? Where we have to take responsibility with what God has spoke to us. And we have to work with the Lord over those things. Say, Lord, this is what you've asked of me. Lord, how do I go about doing this? How can I apply this in my personal life? Where can I put these planks? And how can I, if I can use this terminology, how can I involve others in this? Okay. Just as I'm sure Noah did with his own sons and his family. I'm sure they were involved in this. And so we as fathers, as husbands, that we involve our own families and those around us, that we do this together. So there's something about, yes, we're working our own salvation with fear and trembling, but we're also doing this collectively, where we're working together for a greater cause, where it's more than just me. Yes, it is me, but it's those around me as well, that we want all of us to be saved from the spiritual flood, if you understand what I'm saying. To be saved from being lost, all right? Because when God shut that door, can you imagine? I know I remember some of the children's Bible story books, and it was the artist was pretty painted some pretty vivid pictures. I remember when I was a little boy, and the door was shut, and it was the thunderstorm and the waves and everything, and Noah and his family were inside the ark. And there were people banging on the outside of the door trying to get in. But folks, it was too late. Because they had mocked Noah and his family. They'd made fun of them. You're building on this for how many years? We've never seen a flood. What's rain? A flood? What are you talking about? You're building this on dry land? You're foolish. And you're building it that big? That's way too big. You know, Satan does that sometimes to us as well. He'll come alongside us and say, you're doing what? God told you to do what? Like, well, this is what the Lord said. I'm not making this up, you know. And so, but Lord, help us that we persevere and continuing to build our personal lives, our ark, that we build it for God, okay? And it's not just for ourselves and not just for our own pleasure, so to speak, to step back and go, oh, wow, look what I did. But folks, it's functionable. It works. It does. It performs the purpose that God designed it to, all right? And that is to preserve our souls from being lost. So, thinking of this, I want to transition just for a moment here. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, I want to pick up a couple of verses. In Matthew 24, verses 37 through 41 here, or maybe just a few verses here. Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 36, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew it not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we'll just stop right there, and just consider this for a little bit. So this is basically a warning that Jesus is giving to the followers there. And he's trying to explain to them, giving a warning that they must live in constant watchfulness and readiness for Jesus' return. Now granted, they didn't understand what all he was saying. But we, decades and centuries later, we understand what Jesus is saying. Now, the folks that have lived from our time back to this time, the last 2,000 years, Jesus came for them in a different form. They all died, all right? But, and it may happen the same with us before God returns and brings an end to this world. We don't know when that's going to happen. But the point is, the Lord's going to come back for all of us. Whether it's physically us dying or whether it's him coming back and return in the end of time, all right? So regardless, the end will happen at any time. We don't know, okay? And what he's saying is, be prepared. Just like those during the flood, most of them were not prepared. They were busy mocking and making fun of. Now granted, some of them were probably working on the boat, but who knows how many years they could stand working on it. Like, oh, I've had enough years working on it. I'm going to take a break and do something else. And then Noah would hire some more and they'd work on it. But the main point is, the end result was, it was only Noah's family that was saved because they believed. Therefore, they entered into the door and they were saved. All right. And the Lord's the one that shut the door. All right. Noah wasn't the one that shut the door. But they didn't realize until it was too late, when the door was shut and it started thundering and lightning, and here came the storm, here came the rain and the floods, it was too late. All right? So Jesus is saying, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So what he's saying here is, you know, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and giving in marriage. That's just living everyday life. But Jesus' point was, they were focused on that only. That's all they were doing, was focusing on doing these things and ignoring the most important thing, was the warning that was given out by God to Noah, and Noah giving it out to others. And for years he's preaching, someday there's going to be a flood. And they're like, oh, whatever. It's never happened before. It's never going to happen. Lord, help us. Do we not ignore the basic principles in the scriptures that our end will come at a time that we don't know when it is. None of us know. Whether it be our personal lives ends or whether it be the end of time and God brings us all to a conclusion, we don't know when that's going to happen. So therefore, we must be ready and be watchful, all right? And be willing to enter into that door of safety, this ark of safety, this structure that glorifies God, that is built according to God's plan, His scriptures, all right? That we follow His commands, and therefore that builds an ark of safety in our own lives where God's presence is within us, okay? Just like the Lord's presence was in the Ark of the Covenant, it was in that ark of safety. God's presence was in this ark that Noah built. God's the one that orchestrated it. He had it designed and built according to His plan. And so for us, it's the same principle, that we build our lives according to His plans and we obey Him, we listen to Him, we do everything according to His will. And folks, when it's complete, it works as it should. His presence stays within us, and folks, we are safe. All right? But Lord, help us not to ignore the warnings. Lord, help us not to get caught up in the everyday drum of life, where they're eating and drinking and giving in marriage, just carrying on and ignoring some warnings that God may be trying to visit us, speak to us about something, whatever it is. Do we not ignore that? Do we give heed? Say, Lord, what are you trying to get across to me? I don't want to be lost. I want to be safe in your presence. Okay? So, I want to write just a couple of things on the board. In building our ark, according to God's plan, His scriptures, it's about building a close relationship with the Lord. Just as Noah had with God Himself. He had a close relationship with Him. He understood what the Lord was telling him. And God gave him wisdom and knowledge to know how to carry those things out. No doubt he would have to say, okay, Lord, well, how do I make this part? And how do I do this part? How do I apply this pitch? And how do I form this? And so he's continually seeking the Lord because he's never done this before. How do I go about this, Lord? Okay. So I want to just touch on a few specific things here in closing that are good tools and good ways of some specific things to help us build our ark, all right? And the first one I talk about is obedience. Remember the scripture in 1 Samuel when King Saul was supposed to annihilate the enemies there, and he got too anxious and didn't wait on Samuel to show up. And he offered the sacrifice himself. And when Samuel showed up, King Saul tried to say, well, I offered this sacrifice and God's pleased with this. You know, I offered this sacrifice and, you know, we're asking for his blessings upon us. And the point was, he didn't follow through and obey specifically where he was supposed to destroy all of the enemy and their livestock and the king and everyone. But he saved the king and some of the livestock. And he's like, what's the bleating of the sheep I hear in the background? He's like, oh, well, that's to, you know, to offer to the Lord. The point was, and the scripture goes on to say, it says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Sacrifice is good, but obedience is supreme. All right? So let's think about it this way. With Noah, he focused on the obedience of following through the specific instructions God gave him, rather than focusing on the sacrifices that he was having to make. Just think about that for a little bit. He wasn't focusing on his I'm sacrificing this and this and this just so I can receive God's blessing. And I'm sacrificing all these things just to accomplish building this boat. He wasn't focused on the sacrifices. He was rather focused on his obedience to the Lord. And you know what? God blessed him for that. And I think there's some good personal lessons in that for all of us, that we focus on the obedience to the Lord rather than the sacrifices that we may try to offer him. Sacrifices are great, but obedience is better, as the scripture says. And here's another one. Watch and pray. There's a scripture, several scriptures about that. There's one in Mark. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, but not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. So watch and pray. Let's just talk about that for a little bit. Watch would be you are staying alert. You're awake. You're aware. You understand what's going on and you're watching for it. All right. You're being intentional. Okay. So coupled with praying, we understand what praying is. That's talking to the Lord. That's communicating with him. A two-way conversation. Us talking to him and allowing him to talk to us. So when we put that together to watch and pray, that means we're aware of some situations out there or within us, whatever the case is. We're aware of those. We're watchful. We're alert. We see where the devil is maybe trying to trick us up or someone else up, and we're aware of that, and we mark that in our mind and say, Lord, help me not to be caught up in that as well, if we see someone else caught up in something. Or maybe we did get caught up in something, and we're saying, okay, Lord, please forgive me of this. I want to get rid of this. I want to change. You transform me. And the Lord does that, saying, Lord, I want to be watchful that if that situation comes up again, you'll give me the grace to resist or to flee or whatever, or to change whatever I need to change, where I won't fall to that temptation again. But I'm being watchful and I'm being prayerful, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to focus on you and not the problem. Because sometimes that's so easy to do. We can see the mountain of challenges and whatever it is, like, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. And we can get overwhelmed with it. But Lord, help us to watch and pray, to bring it before the Lord. And we're aware of something. Say, Lord, now I'm more aware. Now, Lord, I want to bring it to you even quicker than I did last time. That's part of what being watchful and prayerful is. Okay? Okay, here's another one. Diligence. Diligence. The scripture says, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We'll just summarize it this way. That's guarding and protecting faithfully something that is precious to us, okay? And we are careful about things. Where we're watching and praying, but being diligent is we continue to do that because we're faithful to do it consistently. Just like someone that's diligent with their homework and diligent studying for tests. I remember that was a great struggle for me in school. I didn't like doing my homework. I didn't like studying for tests. But if I wanted good grades, guess what? I had to be diligent to not just do it once a week. Every day I had to be diligent studying, doing my homework, all those things. If I was to pass the test, if I was to pass the grade. So again, being diligent. And here's the last one I want to talk about just for a little bit. Endurance. And there's several scriptures about that too. One of them says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now let's think about this for just a little bit. Did Noah have it easy? No, he didn't. He had to endure hardness as a good soldier. There were mornings that no doubt he woke up and he looks out his little hut, whatever he's living in, and he's looking out at that unfinished boat going, oh, I don't want to do this again today. You know, folks, he was human, just like you and I. But folks, we can struggle with some similar things. Wake up in the morning, or whether it's going to bed, it doesn't matter. At some point during the day, you're like, oh, this again? Folks, I'm here to say, and I'm not just saying this lightly, because we've all been there, okay? The scripture says what the Lord told Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. When things look very bleak and dismal, and things look very difficult and challenging, like we're trying to build a huge 450-foot boat by ourselves, and we've been doing it for years, and we get up another morning like, oh, this again? Folks, I'll say this. It's worth it. And if we want something to work, we have to endure to the end, as the scripture says. And we're not, I don't want to paint this a picture that it's all drudgery and living for the Lord and building our ark. That's not the point. Because the process of this, I am confident that God visited Noah along the process. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to finish it. The scriptures don't give details of his conversations that he had with the Lord. But folks, I'm confident Noah had thousands of conversations with the Lord saying, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm done. I'm so weary. I don't know what to do. And I'm confident the Lord paid him a visit. And I'm confident that the Lord gave him the courage and the strength and the joy of the Lord to carry on the task. And that's what I want to encourage us with here this morning is we can finish the ark, folks. We can finish the task. We can build our lives where it's pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord can encourage us along the way. And then we can find the joy of the Lord and we can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit along the way. We can enjoy this relationship with the Lord because Noah had a relationship with the Lord. And folks, it blessed not only him, but the end results were it blessed his whole family and those around him. Folks, it can be the same for all of us. then we're faithful to the Lord. And we enter into that personal relationship with the Lord where we're telling Him and communicating with Him, and He's speaking to us and He's encouraging us and He's giving us courage and He's giving us joy and He's giving us inspiration. The others around us, they'll see that we're receiving that too, and that gives them courage and them inspiration to be building their ark as well. Their ark and their life with the Lord, all right? Their personal relationship with the Lord as well, where God's presence will be in their ark too, all right? And they too will have a sphere of influence where they'll bless others with their life being faithful to the Lord, obeying Him, the obedience, the watching and praying, the being diligent every day, not just once a year or once a week or once a month, but every day being diligent, and then to endure through the good times and through the bad. The Lord, I mean this to win the race. As Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark. So I want us to be encouraged here this morning that if you started building your ark for the Lord, your life for the Lord, let's be encouraged to continue that and let's finish that, okay? Let's finish our race in victory. And the other side of it is, let's do this together. Because we're not all alone, if you understand the point here. Yes, we have our own personal relationship with the Lord, but we can also help build this ark as unto the Lord. And as He gives us instructions, that we're encouraged to keep building on this boat, on this ark, on this life for the Lord, that in the end, it will continue to work and to preserve other souls that are coming behind us. Because folks, God's pleased with that. God put His blessing upon Noah because he was faithful to do all these things. And I want to say it here this morning, God will put His blessing upon us too. Not only in this own personal life, this earth, this life here below, but we'll also receive an eternal blessing where we'll be saved forever from sin, from heartache, from pain, from disappointment, from sorrow, from tears, from all those things, that we can win the race. Ultimately, we can win that goal and that prize if we continue building our ark, that we'll be faithful when He comes back for us again. You pray for me that I would be faithful likewise. Amen.